Good morning. Welcome to chapel. We're going to start off by singing Beautiful Things, because God can make beautiful things out of anything. He created us out of dust, right? So please stand with me and join us in singing.
This week we've relaunched into the Grounded series, grounded in Christ, grounded in God's love, grounded in faith. And this series is inspired by the Ephesians passage, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Hear it anew as Abel this morning. For this reason I bow my knees before our God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. One of our newest professors, Paul Yoder, has agreed to continue the series bringing personal stories on being grounded. And Paul serves as assistant professor of teacher education. He earned his PhD in curriculum and instruction with a concentration in social studies education from the Curry School of Education at the University of Virginia. Paul is an EMU graduate, twice in fact, undergraduate BA in history in 06 and a master's in education in 2011. And before studying at UVA, Paul taught history at Thomas Harrison Middle School and English as a second language at the Dayton Learning Center. And Paul's scholarship interests include the teaching and learning of history among culturally and linguistically diverse student populations. His publications and conference presentations have additionally addressed issues related to language, student identity, and the enacted curriculum. He's a member of the American Educational Research Association and the National Council of for the Social Studies. I remember Paul as a CA, I don't know what year, in one of the Woods dorms, within the first several years of serving as campus pastor. What year was that? Do you know? Couple years as CA.
2003, 2004.
So right away, 2003 and 4. Paul extended to me one of the first opportunities to come into a residence hall and interact with students at a fellowship event. It was called Pie Night, and I was delighted to receive the invitation, looking forward to going, and then I noted that I was to bring the pie. Others were invited, and they were to bring pie too. It was a creative idea. No one's duplicated it since, as far as I know. Think about that. Welcome, Paul.
Good morning. Well, Brian, thank you for that story, and thank you also to you and your chapel planning team for this invitation to speak this morning. I've benefited from the prompting, the assignment, to reflect intentionally on this Ephesians 3 passage. And so it's out of those reflections that I want to share this morning. As Brian noted, our grounding theme for this year draws on this section of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In my Bible, there's a heading above this section. It says, "A Prayer for the Ephesians." So in thinking about this passage, my first point of analysis was a question that appears deceptively simple at first. What does it mean to be grounded? To begin with, the Apostle Paul makes it clear in verse 17 that being grounded stems from Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. In reflecting on what that has meant in my own life, three experiences came to mind. So I'll begin by briefly introducing three components or elements of being grounded before I then share a few illustrating stories. And as Brian said, I am a teacher by training and I teach teachers, so I've worked to integrate some images to help us capture these themes. The first element of being grounded focuses on the importance of being rooted in Christ. In verse 17, Paul refers specifically to being rooted and established in love. This aspect is reminiscent of the flowers that many of us planted around campus during a chapel earlier this fall. In verse 18, Paul prays that the Ephesians may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. When I searched for a visual representation of being rooted, I immediately settled on this one, because the image captures the ways in which roots grow, wide and long, high and deep, in search of nourishment and in providing security for the plant. The second element of being grounded that I'd like to describe is focusing on God's love. On the screen, this concept is represented by the radio and microphone. While this radio may seem a little dated, or we might call it retro, I appreciated how the illustration depicts the combination of how we both tune in as consumers of different messages and how we also amplify these messages in our own lives. Finally, the third element of being grounded that I want to highlight this morning is seeking God's direction. The compass serves as a visual reminder of the understanding that being grounded is not merely a stationary or static state of being. Rather, I believe that God calls us to serve and follow in different ways. Certainly, the life experience that we read about in Scripture of the Apostle Paul provides a dramatic example of this element of being grounded. So, in order to put some meat on the bones of this conceptual framework, I want to share three brief vignettes with you this morning, each serving to illustrate one of these aspects of what it might mean to be grounded. The first example stems from my cross-cultural experience as a student here at EMU. I went to the Middle East with Linford and Janet Stutzman during spring semester 2004. I remember the trip as a wonderfully rich and complex experience. As a history major, I love the intertwining of the biblical narrative with political realities, as studying centuries of civilizations helped to illuminate current events. We learned about the various Arab, Muslim, and Christian contexts in Egypt, Jordan, and Palestine, as well as the Jewish culture and religion in Israel, and explored the role and diversity of Christian existence across those contexts and also in Greece and Italy. Throughout the semester, I remember Linford returning to a simple yet profound understanding of the uniqueness of Jesus as a grounding belief in the midst of these diverse settings and experiences. When we came back from cross-cultural, I remember sitting in Hillside talking with friends when one of them said I looked or seemed jaded, was her word. While a bit taken aback by this analysis at first, and her honesty perhaps, I realized that I didn't disagree with her assessment. Logically, I could reason that I had experienced so much, and I was also, of course, aware of the culture shock that travelers experience in returning home. Over the next few months, I found myself questioning whether the misuse and abuse of religion that we had learned about and even witnessed on cross-cultural had implications for how I related to my home congregation. A mental image came to me that helped to provide some clarity. I remember clearly seeing a stack of ABC children's blocks, and then watching as the blocks were knocked over and cleared out of sight in one foul swoop. Harking back to Linsford's persistent reminders, the message in this visual was clear to me. Jesus is the only foundation on which faith is rightly built. By comparison, the other culturally bound markers or building blocks of church and organized religion simply fall by the wayside. As such, I found that I could continue to wrestle with the presence of conflict in the church and accept the differences in language and music as long as there was evidence that Jesus served as the foundation. In reflecting on the closely related aspect of focusing on God's love, I was reminded of the ways in which having young children makes me very aware of what I say, including, and perhaps especially, when it comes to communicating about faith. As pictured here, my wife Katrina and I met here at EMU. She is currently in her 10th year of teaching down the road at Waterman Elementary School. And you see that we have two young children. Our daughter Isella, captured in this photo in mid-laugh, is 3 years old. And our son Matthias is 7 months old. As a parent, you encounter new and awesome responsibilities that you've never had to think about. Take the process of giving another human being a name, for example. So when reflecting on just how important messaging is when it comes to children, I was not surprised to see the centrality of love when reflecting on how we talk about God with our kids. From the time Isella was a newborn, we have sung songs like Jesus Loves Me and Jesus Loves Little Children. Even the little lullaby made up ends with the line, and Jesus loves you too. Of course, as Isella has grown, our messaging has obviously become a little more complex. For example, as we work to instill a sense of purpose and identity in our daughter, we often talk about how she is special because God made her and loves her. In a recent example of how she continues to expand her understanding of the world around, Isella reported to us the other evening at dinner that our neighbors had brown hands. When I asked what she meant by that, she indicated that she had noticed that our Latino neighbor boy had brown hands and concluded, after further conversation, that our African-American neighbor girls also had brown hands. When I asked her what color her hands were, she replied that they were white. My initial response was to hold up a napkin and ask her if her skin was the same color as that napkin. But then I proceeded to reiterate for Isella that God made all people, and Jesus loves our neighbors, whether they have brown hands or white hands. This recent episode clearly highlighted for me the ways in which being grounded means to focus on God's love in the midst of the many different messages we receive from the world around us. Finally, I want to share with you about how I have been reminded and inspired in a new way about the importance of seeking God's direction. Last week, the seminary here at EMU hosted the School for Leadership Training, and I was able to take in a few of these sessions in between other scheduling commitments. During two of these sessions, I interacted briefly with Caleb and Hannah Hostetter, a young couple who you see in the photo on the right-hand side of the photo, who I learned, I was just meeting them for the first time, and I learned that they were providing leadership to Service Adventure participants in Jackson, Mississippi. The last day of SLT was last week on Wednesday, and I ended up, what seemed by happenstance at the time, to eat lunch with Caleb and Hannah that day. In addition to the usual get-to-know-you conversations, during which they described how Caleb had worked in marketing here at EMU while he earned his MBA, I was also struck by the clear sense of call that Caleb and Hannah described. In particular, I remember Hannah asked, in the process of asking me about my grad school experience and her discernment process about further education and her own future, she focused on and really was wrestling with the impact of education in being able to relate to people who she described as living on the margins. I recall being impressed with the real purpose and commitment I heard in Hannah's processing and with our lunch conversation more broadly. Many of you know, of course, that the following day, which was last Thursday, Caleb and Hannah were involved in a car accident while driving south on 81 on their way back to Mississippi. When I learned that Hannah had died in that accident, I was struck by the fact that she was no longer in a position to ponder or to answer the questions that she had been asking about how to live faithfully. And with this realization came a challenge to pay attention to contemplate, and to hold on to these insightful questions in my own life. So I in turn extend Hannah's question to each of us, to each of you. Whether you more readily identify with the decision to come to EMU as being part of a discernment process, or whether you're at a point of where you're thinking more about what comes next after EMU, I encourage you to also seek God's direction as you evaluate how your education interfaces with God's call. In summary, I'd like to bring us back full circle to this deceptively simple, or should I say complex, question. What does it mean to be grounded? As these three unique stories suggest, being grounded in Christ includes multiple aspects, such as building on Jesus alone, focusing on God's love, and seeking God's direction. I encourage you to think about which elements or which stories resonate most deeply with you in this season or chapter of your own life. As we close, I'd like to return to the Ephesians 3 passage, remembering that this is Paul's prayer for the church. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you please join me in responding to Paul's message by turning in your hymnal to number 616, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Children.